Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Yes.
And that's all we're going to get today. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Most people are not familiar with the names Hugh Homer and Erich Honecker. The lives of these two men crossed in 1990 and became a vivid example of God's mercy to the entire world. Mr. Homer was a pastor who served the Lord in what was formerly known as East Germany, a former communist nation. Like many other believers, he suffered from the 40 years of Mr. Honecker's iron fist rule. Listen to this. History has a way of changing things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Honecker had been disposed of his leadership and was facing trial on the charges of treason. But while awaiting his trial, he came down with cancer and he needed an operation to save his life. And he obtained that surgery and he needed care afterwards. Well, knowing his past history, nobody wanted to take care of such a horrible man as Mr. Homemaker was, ruled with the communist iron fist for 40 years. Amen. But Pastor Homer's church ran a convalescent center in the secluded village of, if I'm saying this right, Lobito. Unfortunately, there was no room for this villain Honecker. Amen. And Homer could have easily... told himself, you know, I don't have room in my place. We do this type of thing. We take care of folks when they're in time of need. But my center is full, and I don't have nowhere to put a man, especially a man such as this. And that's what he initially did. But in prayer, the Lord dealt with this pastor. And he said, that horrible man that gave you, literally misery for 40 years. He said, I want you to take him in, and I want you to put him in your convalescent home, and I want you to take care of him and nourish him until he's better. Amen. And Homer did just that, and it created such a riled up crowd. And naturally, this pastor couldn't do all that he did without donors and without people that donated money. And they got mad at this pastor. And they said, you mean you've took in such a man as a communist dictator leader that killed people, that was a horrible man, and you took this man in? We're going to cut our donations. And they really put the pressure on the old pastor. Amen. You know, that's what people still do today. Hallelujah. They try to put pressure on the old preacher. Amen. And try to tell him what he needs to do, what he has to do. Or if he don't do it, we're going to do this. Amen. Let me tell you something. I just like to stop right here and say this before I move on. If you ever look at a person of any kind of spiritual authority or any kind of spiritual figure, and you give him an ultimatum, you're out of the will of God.
That's right.
Woo, amen. Thanks for the one amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever get to a pastor and you say, if you do this, or you better not do this, or if you do this, I'll do this, you're out of the will of God. Amen. That's all there is to it. You can't threaten God, and you can't threaten God's man. Hallelujah. So Homer, against opposition and against what everybody said, this old pastor took this man in. Hallelujah. Amen. And he had to take out an ad in the local paper there. And in that ad, he said these words, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Amen. Erich Honecker, he deserved to die a horrible death alone. Amen. All by himself. And that's what everybody wanted him to do. But thank God, amen, Mr. Homer, amen, he showed the grace and the love of God, and he said that God said to love your enemies, do good to them. Hallelujah. And believe it or not, the Word of God still says that today. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that our way is not all, and our way most most of the time is not God's way. Amen. Our way is to see the evil in someone. Our way is to see the negative in someone. But I'm so thankful that God cares about everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. So if the Lord will help me today, I got two things that I need to preach, and I don't think I'll be able to get all this out in just one 30 or 40 minute sermon here. Amen. But if the Lord will help me, I like to preach. I believe that when we really have mercy, and we really have mercy God's way, I think it'll do two things. It'll create a responsibility, and then when we act upon that responsibility, there will be a reward for the responsibility. Amen. So first off, I've got to deal with the responsibility to be merciful today. Hallelujah. And if we will be merciful, let me tell you something. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out mercy in your life that you've never experienced all the days of your life. Jesus continues to confront self-righteous people, saying what really matters is on the inside, in the heart of a person. Praise God. You know what? A lot of folks, I'm a holiness preacher, and it's just not my lot to preach holiness today. But I believe holiness. I believe holiness on the outward attire. I believe holiness on the outward appearance. But let me tell you something. You can have long hair, and I believe in it. Amen. If I didn't believe in it, I wouldn't raise my family to do these type of things. Amen. And you get what I'm saying. You can live a holy life and look great on the outside and be so corrupt on the inside that you can use, the world and sinners and your family, people you work with, people you live with, people you go to church with. You can be so corrupt and so selfish and so self-centered and have such bitterness in your heart and not have a lick of mercy, and it'll confuse, everybody in your life. Amen.
Yes, God.
Woo! Hallelujah. Are you ready? You got your seatbelts? Praise the Lord. Amen. I ain't preaching on the outward. I'm preaching on the inward today. Glory to God. Amen. Righteousness is in the heart. Amen. And if righteousness gets in the heart, it will produce, fruitful and right actions.
Right.
Glory to God. A Christian is something before he does something. Amen. When you're a Christian, you are a Christian. And the outside, everything you do, if a lady lets her hair grow long, she doesn't do that to make her a Christian. She does that because she's a Christian. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Brother Jason, why do you, pay your tithe? Why do you live right? Why do you go out and don't lie and corrupt? Amen. A preacher called me the other day, and we got to talking along the lines, and I said this, and as far as I know, I guess I have worked for over 1,000 people down through the years. Amen. You know, hundreds and hundreds of folks, individual people I've mowed for and I've worked for, and they die, or somebody sells their house, just because the turnover down through the, 24 years that I did that kind of work in Huntington, and I worked for quite a bit in Gilbert before I moved down here. I guess I've worked for over 1,000 people. And Brother George, as far as I know, I can stand here in the pulpit today and tell you I've never cheated a person that I know of. Amen. I've never lied to them. I never go tell them I'm going to do this, and this, and talk up a big job and say I'm going to charge you this much money and then go do about half of what I said I was going to do, but charge you. Say, no, it's a crook. It's what that is. Amen. Come on now. So yes, I believe you can have it on the outside, but when you get it on the outside, amen, hallelujah. When you get it on the inside, it'll produce on the outside. But a lot of folks, they learn how to, you can mask. What I'm trying to say is you can mask an outward appearance, but you can't mask an inward. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! I'm about to feel like shouting here. You can mask what you should look like. You can get in church, and when the Holy Ghost gets to moving, people that's cold and indifferent, and they ain't got no fire, they ain't got the Holy Ghost, they know when to raise their hand.
Come on.
Woo! You can mimic that. You can mimic that. But you let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and jerk you like Brother George back there. You let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and run you around here like Brother Tommy back there. And you can't mimic the power of God. Come on. I remember when my little cousin, Will's his name, Christopher William. We call him Will. Where he lives now, calls him Chris. Amen. But anyway, he is about 3 or 4 years years old, like a lot of holiness churches, young boys where I come from would run around the church. Well, one day, old Will got to run around the church. And a lot of people don't like that. Amen. But he ran a lap or two, and everybody smiling, looking at little Will, about 3 or 4 years old. Look at Will, there he is, running. And about the third lap, Holy Ghost got on him. Yeah. And it wasn't a little boy running. I mean, the power of God, a countenance got on him, and there wasn't a dry in the house. Everybody had to say, that ain't mimicked. That ain't somebody just doing it. That ain't somebody just running. That's the Holy Ghost. What I'm telling you is, you can't mimic the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can work up this worldly generation. They get their fog. Amen. They get their rock bands. They know how to work it up, but they don't have the real Holy Ghost. Hey, church, if you really get him right, and you really get him real, and you really get him where he moves down in your heart, you'll live right. You'll have it right on the outside, and you'll have it right on the inside.
Yes.
Woo! Are you ready for a little more?
Come on.
As believers in Christ, we'll have a spirit of brokenness.
Yes, God.
We'll have a spirit, amen, of mourning. I've dealt with these. We'll have a spirit of meekness. We'll have a spirit of hunger and thirsting after righteousness.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, and 4 that I've dealt with. Amen. We'll be merciful and pure in heart. And we'll be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. Amen. Anytime you're around somebody and they're never for peace, but they're rather for confusion, and they're rather for control, and they're rather for troublemaking and stirring up strife. Amen. They're not what I just mentioned. They're not a peacemaker. They're not hunger and thirsting after righteousness. They're not meek in their spirit. Amen. They don't have a poor spirit. Or they wouldn't act like that. They wouldn't create division. They wouldn't create confusion. They wouldn't create all the trouble that goes along. Amen. With that, hey, I come to tell us here in this house today, God help me, Lord, to be merciful. Help me, God, to have a broken spirit. Help me, Lord, amen, to hunger and thirst after righteousness.
There are a lot of people who are alright with Christianity as long as they can control Christianity. But let me tell you something. You don't control Christianity. Christianity controls you.
Right.
Woo! Yes. Hey, I told you, yes, it's going to get a little uncomfortable today.
I'd rather preach a Christmas sermon, and I had a Christmas sermon, but this got on me, and this is what I've got to preach. Amen. Our lives are to be dictated by the Holy Ghost, not by your self-will. Amen. Our lives, our spirits, amen, our whole beings are to be dictated by God and Jesus and the Spirit that He gives unto us. And not by what we want. And when I don't get my way, I puff up and throw fits and hurt everybody around me. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm being loving right here. Amen. How's that? I preached for 15 years almost around here. Some of you a lot less than that. But I don't know any other way to tell you. If you don't watch out, you're in danger. Amen. Of going the wrong direction. You're in danger. Danger of having gay trouble and missing heaven if you don't get the right spirit.
Yes, God.
It is the fruit of the first four attitudes that a priest,
come on,
merciful is.
Yes.
If you're around somebody and they're not merciful, then they can't be the previous four. Jesus, I believe he knew what he was doing, didn't you?
Yeah.
You don't have a poor spirit. I already preached the whole sermon on that. You might get the tape. I ain't got time. If you're not meek, if you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you don't do those four, you can't be merciful. So if you're around somebody and they can't extend a hand of mercy, and they can't help somebody when they're in need, and they're selfish, and they're incompassionate, and they're bitter, amen, I'll guarantee you this, they don't have the other four.
Right.
Amen. Because when we're broken, when we're mournful, when we're meek, and when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be merciful to others.
Thank you, Lord.
The world places a premium upon earthly possessions and position. While here in the Beatitudes, Christ places a premium not upon possessions, but upon character. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm honest as I can be. I understand it takes money to make the world go round. I understand it takes money to make the church go. I understand money is a part of life. But Jesus, amen, is not interested in how much money you make. He's not interested in what kind of house you live. He's not interested in what kind of car you drive. What he's interested in, what do you have in your heart? Amen. I tell you, 99 out of 100 preachers would have sent that communist man packing and letting him die, amen, a lonely, miserable death. But only 1 out of 100 can say, you did me dirty. You did me wrong. You talked about me. Amen. You killed people in my family and friends of mine behind that iron fist curtain of communism. And they would have let him die. But not this man. He extended mercy. He brought him in his church. He brought him in and mended him up and got him better. He was a man that was able to be merciful.
Amen. So, are you ready for this? Yeah, what does it mean to be merciful? What is this all about? First, I'd like to tell you what mercy is not. Amen. Being merciful does not mean that we have to tolerate wicked behavior.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
We have to ignore it. But we have to pay no attention to it. Some folks conclude that merciful person is one that ignores or smiles against transgression of God's word and of God's law. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Some think being merciful is not to be concerned about the sinful conduct of some. Amen. People, such thinking is unscriptural and bogus. Amen. Oh, yes. The United States has been morally weakened because our nation is putting up with all sorts of perversions today. Drug addictions, drunkenness, abortion, immorality of every side, shaking up, amen, the lands that we live in. And our modern day world and society is rising up. And if you say anything against any of these things, you're not loving. That's the opposite of what God teaches and of what the Word of God teaches. If I'm in trouble and you know how to help me and you keep quiet and you let me fall and get hurt and go over the bridge that's out or go over the rock cliff and don't shut down the road. Amen. The old cliche illustrations. And you let me go right on. You don't love me. That's not love. That's hate. Amen. And then God calls an old preacher to get up and to warn and to woo and to preach the truth of God's word. That's not hate. That's love. That's mercy. That's compassion. That's God pulling. That's God wooing. That's the opposite of hate. That's love.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you,
Amen. The toleration of sin, however, has nothing to do with love, compassion, or mercy. If you tolerate sin, that does not show that you're a merciful person.
Right.
That shows that you're ignorant and unlearned.
Yes, God.
Amen. Some folks also falsely conclude that the act of showing mercy is to minimize or eliminate entirely the punishment of criminals for their crime. If somebody commits a crime, and I know this is hot news right now, and it's a sad day, and I ain't got time to get into politics. I just know enough about politics to make me dangerous. But Biden just went on a pardon spree. Just because Biden pardoned them doesn't make them innocent. Did you hear me, Adam? Amen. That weakens democracy. That weakens what we believe as a nation. That you can take a man such as a judge that put all them kids in juvenile detention, amen, and even prison, and then they let him off the hook. He went through the judicial system, and a jury tried him guilty, amen, and you can pardon him. Oh, we're showing him mercy. No! The only mercy that's shown is for the innocent party that was affected. What about them kids? What about them people, amen, that suffered wrongly? They're the ones that need mercy. Oh, God, I come to tell a church here today, God's a merciful God, and he expects us to have mercy, but it's not, amen, in
being leniency on sin.
You're right.
Yes, God.
Oh, God.
Woo! Dear Lord.
Yes, Him, Lord.
Being lenient in punishment for serious crimes is not mercy. Instead, it is cruelty to the innocent party and a further threat to the society that we live in today.
Right.
Oh, God. Woo! Lord, help us today. Praise God.
Bless Him, Lord.
A man, I'd like to, if I could read it here, it's hard to get everything I need here, trying to find, but I wanted to read to you an encounter between a preacher and a student in school. Amen. A preacher, here it is, said, I debated the issue with a student, amen, of capital punishment, but instead, hallelujah, his views was murderers should not suffer capital punishment, but instead they should be confined to life in prison. And the pastor told him, said, Tom, you would not feel that way if someone killed your mom. You would not feel that way if someone killed your dad or your girlfriend or your child. You would be the one who would want to pull the switch of the electric chair. It got real quiet, and the pastor said the debate was over. Let me tell you something, God believes in punishment. Amen. No matter who don't believe in it, I'm getting ready to prove it to you. For you pull back and push back again. Two of them said at me right here. God believes in punishment. Amen. He teaches us to punish our children. If we spoil the rod, he must bear the rod, we'll spoil the child. God teaches us, amen, to punish our children for wrong. And he said, if we'll train them up and teach them, it's this Bible here, that when they grow old one day, we'll put something in their heart that one day it'll not depart from them. Let me tell you something. A lot of people say, amen, I did something wrong because I raised my kid and they got out of church. That's not what the Bible said. He said that word, amen, that glory, that gospel, that anointing that you put in their heart, that'll never depart. They might walk away. They might end up on a bar stool. They might end up in a crack house. But let me tell you something. That word, it'll never depart. I said that word, it'll never depart. Thank God. God is for punishment. Amen.
Yes.
If that ain't enough, let's get a little more.
Bless Him, Lord.
When we look in the Bible, we find that when Saul spared a wicked king by the name of Agag, showing him leniency, showing him mercy when God said to destroy him.
Right.
Here this wicked king had caused God and God's people trouble after trouble. He had killed and fought against God's people and killed innocent people. And God sent Saul in there and he said, Saul, I want you. Let me get it here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And Samuel, praise God, did not consider it as an act of mercy like Saul did. Saul said, I'm going to spare King Agag, showing him mercy. It was not mercy. God demanded punishment. But God, you know what? Saul did not slay Agag like God commanded. And God judged Saul for that. Amen. And God, not only did God judge Saul, but he called Samuel. And he said, Samuel, Saul did not do what I commanded him to do. I'm preaching on capital punishment right here. Amen. God believes, I'm proving to you right here in the Word of God that God believes in capital punishment. Amen. And you know what? God said, Saul, you won't do my will. I told you to do away with him. I told you to slay him. Because if you don't slay him, he's going to slay you. If you don't get rid of him, he's going to come back, amen, and reoffend again. Hallelujah. See, you know what God did? God called Samuel and he said, Samuel, Saul won't do my work. Will you do it? And Samuel, that prophet, that man of God, went down to Agag and the Bible said he slayed him with a sword and he did the will of God. Let me tell you something, church. Leniency to sin is not mercy. I got to move on and preach here in a minute. But I'd like to clear the air on some things. Because you tolerate sin and because you pat it on the back doesn't make you a person of love. It makes you a person against God.
You're right, man. You're right, bro.
Saul was against God when he didn't do God's will.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I feel the Holy Ghost here today.
Come on. Lord.
Woo! Holy God.
Come on, brother.
So what does it mean? I preached to you for 10 minutes on what does it not mean to be merciful. Are you ready now what it means to be merciful?
Come on.
Psalms chapter 40 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me,
yeah,
O Lord, and let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Woo. The word mercy comes from a Hebrew word, rakam, which means wound. Hallelujah. Woo. This word refers to God's affection for us. Just as a mother loves her baby because it's in that womb. There's a closeness. There's an affectionate there. David was asking God to surround him with that kind of love and that kind of mercy, like a baby in a mother's womb, and protection that a child enjoys in its mother's womb. I can't get sidetracked. And a baby ought to be the safest place on planet Earth as a mother's womb. But in today's society, it's a very dangerous place to be. Woo! Hey, I'm in rare form today. I said it's a dangerous place. Amen. Abortion is an abomination, and it stinks in the nostrils of God. Oh! Amen. David said, God, amen, gather me in close like a baby in his mother's womb. Amen.
Right.
Amen. As sinners, we do not observe the punishment for sin. Amen. We deserve it. We deserve God's punishment.
Yes.
But when God doesn't send us to hell because of our sin, but yet we mentioned this several times in this service today, different ones, about the gift, about God's love for us, that he sent his son. And God gives us a promise that when we repent of our sins, and look, notice this, when you repent of your sin, that's the day that you turn from your wicked ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And when we repent of sin, God doesn't give us what we deserve.
Right.
He gives us mercy.
Thank God.
That's right. Woo.
Thank
That's
God.
That's right, brother.
I deserve hell, Brother George.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
I can't go call everybody's name out. We ain't got time for all that. I can call your name. We deserve worse than what we got.
Yeah. Right.
We deserve punishment.
Right.
We deserve hell.
Amen.
But because God's mercy, when we fell in an altar and said, Lord, would you forgive me a sinner? Somebody said, God's not a God that'll send somebody to hell. God's not sending anybody to hell. That's a wrong way of looking at it. That's a wrong perception. God doesn't send anybody to hell. But when you reject his love,
yeah,
and when you reject his mercy, and now it gets into the oneness of God and to the amen infallibleness of God. God gives everybody a chance of repentance. I believe that.
Yes, he does.
He'll give everybody a chance of repentance to be saved.
Right.
And if you reject that, God's not sending you to hell. You've rejected mercy.
That's right. You're right.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Brother George, I'm starving to death. I'm freezing to death. I ain't got no heat in the house. I ain't got no food in the house. My kids are starving. And somebody comes by and offers help, and I refuse it. I'm offering mercy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that is a true story. I read it, you know, about that guy that got overturned at sea. And he's praying, floating around, and the boat was crashed and sunk or whatever. And he said, Lord, why don't you save me? Amen. Remember that?
Yeah.
Why don't you save me? God sent a helicopter by, and they dropped the rope, and he said, here's help. And he said, no, God's going to save me. Amen. And he kept, Lord, save me. And somebody else came by and offered help. A boat, I think it was, come by. No, God's coming to get me. And the guy died.
Yes, Lord.
You saved me, as far as I know. And he ended up in heaven. He said, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent three. I come by to save you three times.
Yep.
And you rejected me.
Hey, come on, brother.
Come on. Holy God.
Come on. That's all right.
Holy God. Holy.
Come on, brother.
I told you it's going to get down and make us all feel a little uncomfortable here today. I'm only on page 3 and I got a lot more to go. You think you can handle some more of it?
Mercy, Lord.
Oh, God. God's a God of mercy. But we got to be willing to accept his hand of mercy.
Yes.
The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
Yes.
Psalms 119, Lamentations 3:22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is only God's grace and God's mercy that you're alive today.
That's right. You're right. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Man, this right here make a Presbyterian shout. Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's gracious.
Yes, he is.
Full of compassion. Mm-hmm. Slow to anger. And of great mercy.
Great.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So you and I, we're quick-tempered. We're quick to spout our mouth. We're quick to tear others down. We're quick to do a lot of things, but God is gracious and slow to anger. Aren't you glad of that? Happy. We want you to raise a hand. I need the Lord to help us. God, would you help us in this house? God, I'm digging deep, Lord. I've got to plow on the lowest level. We're digging deep, Lord. Oh, God. Woo! Oh, God.
Praise God.
Mercy and grace are found together many times in Scripture, but they are not the same. Mercy deals with the symptoms of sin, but grace deals with the problem of sin itself. Mercy offers relief from punishment, but grace offers a pardon from the crime. Amen. Grace comes first, removing the sin, and mercy eliminates, praise God, the punishment. Mercy pities us, but grace pardons us.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I preached about pardon there just now. I said, I deserve sin. Hey, I deserve hell, rather. I deserve way worse. But the grace of God, hallelujah. I said, the grace of God, amen, had grace on me, and he pardoned my sin. Oh, yes. And when the devil tries to bring up my past sin, and let me tell you something, there ain't a person in this house that has never committed sin. If we had us a whiteboard up here today, Brother Earl, and our sins were written on this wall, hey, a lot of us would hang our head in embarrassment. Come on now. I wonder how many would hang our head in embarrassment of the sins that we committed in the last week, amen, or the last month, or the last year. I wonder if we'd hang our head in embarrassment. But thank God, the devil tries to pull up my sin. But when God looks at it, he sees grace. He sees mercy. He sees forgiven. I'm forgiven by the grace of God. I'm saved by grace. I'm pardoned when I deserve hell. I'm pardoned because I chose Christ.
Grace.
Woo!
Grace, grace.
Oh, well, I'm done.
Jesus, Jesus.
Mercifulness involves an attitude of pity. Hallelujah. The word merciful carries the idea of caring for the afflicted, giving help to the wretched, rescuing the miserable. To be merciful is to have pity and compassion for somebody that's in need.
Yes.
Come on, brother.
Aren't you glad that God had mercy on us when we needed him?
Jesus.
That's really the ultimate example of mercies when God had mercy on you and me. But aren't you also glad when down through life somebody's lending a hand of mercy?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Earl knows him. I've just become acquainted with him. Stephen Amos. He's cousin Earl's. He's a janitor down there at the cabin. And the darkest days of our life, he came in that room when everybody gave us no hope. That fellow right there and one preacher come in there and give us hope. But anyway, he came in that room, that janitor did, and he said, he come out there, and he you could tell he wasn't just bringing up something from the hip. He wasn't just rambling to try to help us to feel better. But I could tell, I believed him. I believed he saw something. One of the last few days when they said Reese will never live and she's going to be a vegetable and all this, and our minds was 1,000 different directions and we didn't know which way was up or down. Old janitor come out there and he said, hey, Mr. Painter, he said, I want to tell you something. It was dark. It was getting dark. The sun had just barely set. It was mostly dark outside. He said, I've never seen nothing for it in all my life. He said, but I looked out Reese's room He said, the brightest light I ever seen in my life was shining right in that window. He said, it never shined in any other window come in her window. He said, I'm nothing to nobody, you know, in his way of saying, he said, but I want to let you know I seen a bright light. And it shined in her room. He said, I think things are going to turn around for you.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Brother George, I thought that's an old janitor, man. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And I thought he shined up a still better. Amen. But you know what? A day or two later, things flipped and things turned. Amen. Reese got better. She got to waking up. And she got better. And I'll never forget that man telling us that. I'll never forget that man having a burden. And he come back day after day. Amen. And we kind of became friends. And I had no clue, but last Friday, amen, last Friday he come down sick. He worked. And he came home and his back was hurting him. And he said, come home, told his wife, said, I'm hurting so bad. He went to the hospital. They sent him home. And he got hurting bad. He went back, I think, two or three times. They finally kept him. They didn't know what was wrong with him. He's got infection somehow in his spine. And it's went to his brain. And he's laying up there in ICU right now on a ventilator. And somehow his wife got a hold of me through Sister Alicia. She knew she went to her church and they gave me his number and they said, is there any way you come up here and pray? Amen. For Mr. Amos, he's got confidence in you. And his church, I thought they said his church don't anoint with oil. And that family said, we want a preacher to come up here and lay their hand with oil and pray for this man. So I marched in there yesterday, Brother Earl. Amen. His wife cried. His daughter was crying. The family was crying. And I cried. And I laid my hands on his head. And he opened up and looked at us. Amen. And he talked to us a time or two. And they said, we're going to sedate him even more. I don't have a clue what the outcome will be. But I come to tell you, he had mercy on me in the darkest days of my life. And I beg God, I pleaded with God to touch that man. I told him to have mercy. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what God has done for you.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Amen.
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Hurry here.
Hallelujah.
So many people are so quick. Choose to be carnal, carnal minded, carnal way of thinking, carnal way of this. But we got to have mercy.
Yes.
Don't worry, I ain't in a bit of hurry. I don't care if I preach for 2 hours.
Lord, do not.
But don't worry, I'm not. Raise your hand one more time. I'm trying to get the will of God here. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to pull for somebody. I'm trying to change somebody's life right now. Woo. Don't you think? Don't you think your selfish, bitter ways it's been long enough? Don't you think it's been long enough living like that? Don't you think it's time to surrender to God? Don't you think it's time to say, God, I want to be poor in spirit. I want to mourn. I want to be meek. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if I do these things, I have mercy. I love people like God loves people.
Thank you, Lord. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God.
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus.
Jesus. I got to go on here. Some feel, I'm done here, but I need to leave with this. This touched my heart. Some feel that if they have pity or sympathy for others, they're being merciful. That is not the case at all. Pity is only the beginning of mercy. Amen. Some folks are so hard-hearted, they don't even get, amen, step one, which is pity. I can look out, Brother George, and see somebody in need and have pity on them, yep, and never move. I'm not being merciful.
Yeah, true.
I understand we came to help everybody in the world. I understand that. But if God lays somebody on your heart and what makes yesterday so significant, I prayed all week long. I don't know why it come on me. I said, God, there's people in my life I can't help. I can't help them. Amen. There's people in this church I cannot help. I have preached till I'm blue in the face. I have preached till I'm sweating. And I got to go home and take a shower. When I come, take a shower. When I go home, I got stacks of sermons. And I can't help them. Can't do it. And I prayed all week long. I said, God, I know there's somebody in Huntington I can help.
Yes.
Would you send me to him?
My God.
I prayed that, Mr. Sophie. I prayed that.
Come on, brother.
And my phone rang.
Sister Lisa gave me that number. I texted that lady. I didn't know her. I texted her. I said, I'm Jason Painter. If I'm here, if you need me. You know, I didn't want to just go barging down there. I didn't know what they wanted. I said, I'm here. If you need me for anything, I'm here. She said, would you please come now? I need you. I said, Lord, this is you. Somebody needs help down there.
Yep.
Somebody needs help down there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can help somebody, church. Quit beating your head up against the wall for folks you can't touch and you can't help. And help somebody.
Right.
Lord, help somebody. Help somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God. God, raise your hand one more time. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I don't know where I'm trying to get the will of God. Here. I'm trying to get the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Oh God.
I'm trying to find my Lincoln story. I need glasses.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Some folks are too hard-hearted. They don't even get to step one, which is the pity. They struggle with compassion because they are so selfish. So bitter at life that they don't even have pity on somebody that has a need. The compassionate pity of President Lincoln at the end of the Civil War set the stage for restoration of the United States of America. After Lee's surrender, Lincoln spoke to a large crowd from a balcony of the White House. And he told them about the considerate policy, amen, that he had in mind for the South. And at the end of the speech, Senator Harlan jumped up and he asked, what shall we do with these rebels? And this vindictive crowd shouted back, hang them, hang them. And the bitterness squelched any kind of attitude of compassion and mercy in anybody's heart that day. But a young 11-year-old Tad Lincoln, the son of President Lincoln, hollered, no, don't hang them, but hang on to them. Hallelujah. Don't hang them, but hang on to them. And President Lincoln was strengthened when he heard the words of his son, don't hang them, don't judge them. We're going to heal. We're going to have unity in the land again. We're going to hang on to one another. I come to preach today with a burden of my heart. Don't hang them. Hang on to them. Don't hang them. Hang on to them. Glory to God, I feel the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, you better have compassion. You better have pity and mercy.
Yes, God.
Thank you.
Yes, God.
Heaven says yes, if you will.
Oh, God.
Mercifulness involves action associated.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
He waited all morning. Let me give you this. One night, a cobbler dreamed. I love this. You know what a cobbler is?
Yeah.
Shoemaker. One night, a cobbler dreamed that the next day Jesus was coming to visit him.
Yeah.
The dream seemed so real that he got up the very early the next morning. He hurried to the woods and he gathered a greenery to decorate his shop for the arrival of such a great guest. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He waited all morning, but to his disappointment, amen. Hallelujah. Woo. His shop remained quiet, except for an old man who limped up to the door asking to come in for a few minutes to get warm. While the man was resting, the cobbler noticed that the old fellow's shoes were worn out. Hallelujah. And it touched the cobbler so much that he took a new pair from off his shelf and he gave it to the stranger. Amen. And that stranger sat there until he got warm and he walked off into the sunset. Amen. With shoes on his feet. Throughout the afternoon, the cobbler waited very, very impatiently for the Lord to show up. But his only visitor was an elderly woman. He had seen her struggling under a heavy load of firewood, and he invited her into his shop to eat. And he saw to it that she had a nourishing meal before she went her way. And as night began to fall,
The cobbler heard a child crying outside the door. And the problem, amen, was that the child was lost and he was afraid. So the cobbler went out and he soothed the child and he found out where he lived and he took him home. And while he was gone, he got disturbed and he hurried home and he said, surely I have missed the Lord. Surely he came while I was gone. In his anguish, the cobbler cried, why is it, Lord, that your feet delay? Have you forgotten that this was the day? Then soft in the silence, the Lord quietly spoke to his heart, lift up your heart, for I kept my word. Three times I came to your friendly door. Three times my shadow was on your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child on the homeless street. The moral of the story is, be merciful to those in your everyday life, because even though you don't know it, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:35, and I'm done. For I wasn't hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. This is Jesus talking. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered? Amen. And fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Here it is. Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it, unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Church, there's a world full of people out there that you got to represent Christ. There's a world full of people that we have to be merciful and reach people for Jesus.
Right, yes, God.
Stand with me in this house.
Jesus.
Blessed,
you heard the word of God today.
Be God.
You heard the word of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah.
Raise your hand one more time. Pray with me, Lord. I'm inadequate, God, to change the life in this house. There's lives here that need to be changed. God, there's lives in this house that I haven't been able to impact. I can't do anything to help them. But you can.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You can.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Oh, it's a very somber moment here. Pray, church. Pray. Are you? You know how to pray?
Oh, God.
You know how to pray?
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Very somber moment. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Holy.
This ain't just any service. This ain't some random drove preach some random sermon. I preach to you what the Lord wants you to hear today. It's the Sunday before Christmas. Oh, you know I usually preach 3 or 4 Christmas sermons. God changed it all up for you today. Lord.
Jesus.
I feel like you told me to tell you the reason why you can't have mercy. Because you don't even have a poor spirit. Blessed are they. A poor spirit. You got such a selfish, bitter, unhappy, ill spirit that you can't help nobody around you. Matter of fact, you're a hindrance to those around you. I thought the Lord told me to tell you that today. I'm not here to hurt you. You gotta have a meek spirit. Poor spirit. Mourn, blessed are they that mourn.
Yes.
Finally, I just blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Didn't even have that one completed. Number 5, he said. And then blessed are the merciful. They shall take mercy. That's why you can't get mercy. I just revealed to you after all these years why you can't have mercy.
Oh God.
Why you can't get anywhere, why you're spinning your tires, staying in the same old rut, staying in the same old place, miserable in your own shoes every day.
Jesus. Holy God, holy God. Yata Oka Shata Moya Namoho. Yata moho shikabaya anamoho shakatai. Ilololobasi. Yata ho sikabayata. Oloba shata moho. Shakabayata moho shakabayata olobasi.
Yea, I say unto thee this day, it's because of my compassion that you fail not. I say unto thee this day, I change the order of this service today to reach you, to speak to you, have compassion on you. I say unto you this day, you better get this under the bud. You better get this out of your heart, or I say I'm going to bring judgment on thee. Yea, I say I will not tolerate hurting the innocent any longer. I say my hand of judgment will come upon thee if you don't get this out of your heart today, saith God. Raise your hand, ask God to help us today.
Jesus.
Raise your hand, ask God to help us today.
Jesus.
The hand of God's in this house, church. The hand of God's in this house to help us. Let's open these altars up. Let's open these altars up. I don't want to linger. But I want to ask you to come get it right. Come get it right. Hey, I'm not asking you anything on the outward appearance. We're doing any preset today. Hey, some folks got some things wrong in their heart. Hey, some folks got some things wrong in their spirit. And in their heart. You better get it right. You better get it right. You better get it right. Because when you go to affecting little ones, and you go to affecting, Jesus said, and if you affect one of these little ones, my brother, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little. You don't want to live a life like that. That you're always on offense and always offended
with your
little ones.
And I want to have mercy. I want to have mercy.
Go ahead, sister. It's now been sent you. Come on, church. Let's respond to the word of God. God now is going to determine your spirituality, whether you want to stay in that same old rut for years to come, or whether you want to get closer to God. Right now, it's going to settle that. Right now. I can't settle it for you. You got to settle it for you. You got to get that bitterness out of your heart. You got to get that selfish attitude out of your heart. Oh, God. Shut up. Do it, Lord.
I have no defense. But that's sweet.
Do it today, God. Do it today, Lord.
He walks in.
Oh, God.
Mercy rolls in.